In Vanity Fair magazine, which is a magazine I don't read often, the pop legend Madonna describes what motivates her in life. And she says this. She says, I have an iron will, and all of my will has always been to conquer some horrible feeling of inadequacy. Do you hear that? Madonna feels inadequate. She goes on. I push past one spell of it and discover myself as a special human being. And then I get to another stage and I think I'm mediocre and uninteresting again and again. My drive in life is from this horrible fear of being mediocre. And that's always pushing me, she writes, because even though I've become somebody, I still have to prove that I am somebody. My struggle has never ended, and it probably never will, she writes. Now, Madonna is absolutely right, which is something I don't imagine saying very often. Madonna is absolutely right. Her struggle to prove that she is somebody will never end, while that is her pursuit in life. Now, it is that struggle to find satisfaction and contentment and meaning in life, which is right at the heart of this story in John chapter 4. It is a longing that is right not only at the heart of this story, but at the heart of the existence of every man and woman and boy and girl who walks planet Earth. That need to find that something. Well, listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 4 and verse 13. Jesus said these words, everyone who drinks this water, he's talking to a woman at the well, and she is drinking water from this well, and he says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Verse 13 seems such an obvious statement. Whoever drinks this water, that is water from a well, will be thirsty again. Hardly the penetrating words of the Son of God. Until we grasp that here in John 4, Jesus is talking about much more than physical water. And that becomes very obvious in that next verse, doesn't it? Verse 14. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never be thirsty. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus is talking about a thirst that is in every single one of us. There's a craving for something more than can be found in space and time. Now, anything that you drink in time and space will leave you thirsty again. That's what Jesus is saying. Now look, this is a fascinating moment in John's Gospel. In chapter 3, in the previous chapter, we met a Pharisee called Nicodemus. Here at the beginning of chapter 4, we meet someone of total contrast. Now just think about the contrast for a moment. Nicodemus and this woman at the well. Everything about these two people are poles apart. They couldn't be more different. One is a man, the other is a woman. One, the Pharisee, is a religious person of great standing. The other, a Samaritan, a religious no-hoper. One is very moral. Nicodemus, a more upright man you're unlikely to find. The other, well, she is an immoral, loose woman, as such has become a social pariah. They could not be more different, you see. And Nicodemus came at night. The woman, right at the middle of the day, we're told in verse 6, the sixth hour, right in the heat of the day. He came at night when the sun wasn't out. She came when the sun was blazing down. And here's another difference. Nicodemus has a name. This woman, just known as the woman at the well. In every way, these two people couldn't be more different. That's why John puts them together. Chapter 3, chapter 4, let's look at these two people together, he says. And he says they couldn't be more different, yet they couldn't be more the same. They are both searching for something, for meaning in life. And they are here in John's Gospel, side by side, to show us that it doesn't matter who we are, Nicodemus or the woman, religious or totally immoral, respected or ostracized, success or a failure, whoever we are, we're in need of something that only Jesus can give us. We are searching for meaning, for satisfaction in life. We are craving in life for real life. You know, I mean satisfying, fulfilling, meaningful life. We're trying to discover who we are, why we're here. In the words of Madonna, we need to know that we are somebody. We're all searching for something. Now that's quite a big statement, I know. And I can imagine perhaps some sitting here today saying, no, I'm not searching for anything. And that again is where this contrast with Nicodemus and the woman at the well is so fascinating. You see, Nicodemus is obviously searching. He approached Jesus. He sought out Jesus. He went to talk to Jesus, to ask Jesus questions. This woman? Well, for this woman, there's no obvious searching going on for her. Do you see in chapter 4, verse 7, she's just going about her daily routine. She's come to the well for water. It's what she did every day. She's not searching for anything other than doing what she normally does. She didn't go looking for Jesus. He just happened to be there. She didn't start a conversation with Jesus. He spoke to her. And so when you look at this woman, you have to think, ah, she's not searching for anything, is she? Well, look, what happens as Jesus begins to engage her in conversation and ask her questions? It doesn't take long to discover, for us to discover as we look at this, that her whole life has been a search for more. You see, in chapter 4, verse 18, we discover that she's had a string of relationships. 5 broken marriages later, she's now living with a man who wasn't her husband, we're told. And you see what that tells us about this woman? She has spent her life looking for love and acceptance and satisfaction. She's been looking for that in men. And so the water that she went to get on that day was just a little picture, a metaphor, if you like, of her whole life and of her thirst in life. That's what Jesus said to her in verse 13. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Jesus was speaking about far more than water from a well. He says there's a craving in us, in all of us. A craving that things in time and space cannot satisfy. Indeed, anything we drink in time and space will leave us thirsty again. Like drinking salty water just leaves us thirsty. And we have to keep going back somewhere to keep quenching that thirst. For this woman, she was looking for this missing thing in the arms of men. For us, well, it may be relationships, but it can be all sorts of things. It can be our career. Believing that a great job will give us the status and the money to be able to be someone and go places. It could be a thirst for materialism, for stuff. Or for hedonism, for leisure and pleasure. Or maybe it's just this dream. If only I win the lottery, well then I'll have everything I need because money gives me everything I need. I can go on holidays, an early retirement, a trip around the world, whatever it is. I'll just be... It can be a pursuit of beauty, because if I look good enough, I can have everything I want, can't I? And have the Botox injections or the liposuction or whatever it is, I don't know. In the movie Chariots of Fire, one of the characters, he's an Olympic sprinter, says this, just before running the 100-meter event, he says this, "Contentment? I'm 24 and I've never known it. I'm forever in pursuit and I don't even know what it is I'm chasing." He says, "I'll raise my eyes and look down that corridor 4 feet wide with 10 lonely seconds to justify my whole existence. But will I?" And those words are very telling, aren't they? I'm forever in pursuit and I don't even know what I'm chasing. Some people can't articulate it. Others, like this woman at the well, don't even know they're looking for it. But believe me, deep down, we're all looking for that something, that elusive something, that something that we were made for. It's what lies behind a midlife crisis, I reckon. Now, suddenly, half your life has gone. I'm going to turn 50 this year, so I'm thinking about midlife crises a lot. Half your life has gone. Well, probably half my life went 10 years ago, actually. You know, probably when I was 40, if I'm lucky. The best years of your life in times of health and fitness and looks have slipped away. You know, we've all got a furniture problem by the time we reach our age, with our chest in our drawers. We've all got the problem. And now you're thinking, what else is there to look for? Midlife is the point in life when you've either reached that level in your career that you always aimed for, or you begin to think, I'm never going to reach it. And if you've achieved it, you begin to feel that empty so what feeling. Well, I've got here and what, so what? And if you haven't achieved it, you fear that it's now out of your reach. And so you begin to feel that frustration of it all. You've worked your socks off and still there's that nagging feeling that you haven't got what's missing. That is such a lonely place to be in. And such a hard place to admit you're in. Because you see, all around us, all the time, people are telling us that this life is about stuff, is about what you can get. Christmas is a great example of this sort of thing happening. Our children at Christmas is the best example. A couple of years ago, 2 weeks after Christmas, our youngest, Joshua, he was six at the time. Joshua said to me, "I want to go and buy some Playmobil with the money you'd got for Christmas." Now, he got some Playmobil for Christmas. He already had loads of that, and he had loads of other toys. And indeed, as he opened his presents on Christmas Day, his little face was a picture. A more delighted little boy you could not find. "Oh, thank you, Mummy and Daddy," he said from the bottom of his heart. At bedtime on that Christmas Day, as I tucked him up in bed, he said to me, "This has been the best Christmas ever. I got everything I ever wanted. It was lovely." 2 weeks later, he wants to go out and buy some more. But that's just kids for you. Well, no, it isn't just kids for you. It's life for you. And I reckon we adults are no different. It's just that our toys were a little bit bigger. Whether it be the iPhone or the new car or the promotion or the dream holiday or the lottery or whatever it is, we look to things that are outside of ourselves to satisfy that desire that is inside all of us. And there are times when it just seems that longing has begun to be satisfied. When we first fall in love, when we get the new job, when we buy a new car, we think that our dreams are going to be fulfilled, but it doesn't last. Have you noticed that? C.S. Lewis, the author of The Chronicles of Narnia. Now, there's an author. He wrote his own books. He didn't need someone to help him, and lots of them. He wrote a book called Mere Christianity, fantastic book. He wrote this in that book. "Most people, if they really had learned to look into their hearts, would know that they do want, and want acutely, something that cannot be had in this world. There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give it to you, but they never quite keep their promise," he says. Do you see the point? The big point is we're all searching for something. All of us are searching for something. And that's certainly true in my life. Maybe it's true in yours. Well, I want to say it is true. Maybe you've noticed that it's true. Maybe that's why you're here this morning. Maybe that's why you've started coming. You're saying, "I know that everything else in this life isn't quite satisfying. I think Jesus might have the answer." Well, let me tell you, Jesus does have the answer, and he does have an offer for you. And you'll see it there in verse 14. "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst." Isn't that wonderful? "Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." That's the offer. Before I say more about the offer, let me say a word to those who've already drunk of this water that Jesus offers. See, my guess is at this point you think this is just a talk for people who don't normally come to church. But no. This is for all who call themselves Christians as well. See, I need to keep hearing this very thing. You see, the truth is, I need to remember again every day that Jesus is the only one who can quench my thirst, because I keep looking elsewhere for meaning. Do you do that? I do it all the time. Even though I know that Jesus is the meaning of life, even though I know that he alone can quench my thirst, every time I read the newspapers or watch the adverts on the TV, or talk to my unbelieving friends, all the time I'm being told that life is so much better when I've got money to burn and can go on exotic holidays and have tons of leisure time and have a new mobile phone and have a perfect body and have a new love in my life. And that message is all around me all the time. And so I'm tempted every day to keep believing it. And so I keep taking my eye off the ball. I want to keep lowering the bucket of my soul into something else, if I can put it that way. And so today I need to hear what Jesus says. I need to hear verse 14. I need to hear that he is where I'll find satisfaction. Because I keep drinking from other things. And those other things, like salt water, just leave me thirsty. So we all need this offer. The offer that Jesus gives to all. The offer of water that quenches my thirst forever. It's a great offer. And again, before I end, just this. He offers water from a spring. Do you see it there in verse 14? He was speaking to a woman at a well, but crucially, verse 14, he speaks of a spring of water which wells up or bubbles up to eternal life, he says. See, the woman was at a well, but Jesus speaks of a spring. And the difference between a well and a spring is immense. A well in the Near East was actually a cistern. It collected rainwater. If it didn't rain, it would be dry. Well, we're in the middle of a drought now. Would you believe it, this last few weeks? But we're in the middle of a drought now, aren't we? And if the water doesn't come, there isn't any more water. That's it. It's gone. Well, it was like that with this well. It didn't rain, no more water. And so, you know, with a well, you can build over a well like that. You can fill it up with all kinds of rubble and rubbish and build on top of it, and that would be the end of it. But a spring is different. It's impossible to build on a spring and to stop it bubbling up. You can throw rubble and dirt in and try and build on top of it, and that spring will keep on coming from underneath. It will break through. It keeps bubbling up. You can't get rid of it. That's what Jesus is speaking of here. Not a well, but a spring. Something that keeps bubbling up. See, when you become a Christian, when you have this spring of living water in your life, it doesn't mean that all the rubbish in your life has gone forever. It doesn't mean that from then on you never feel hurt or dissatisfied or let down. It doesn't mean that you never chase after other things. But it does mean you can never stop the thirst-quenching water in your life from bubbling up. Because it's a spring, not a well. Even when you get things wrong, as I do, even when you get things out of perspective, as I am at the moment, and even when you start to put other rubbish in your life and run after other things, things that don't quench your thirst, all this rubbish on top can't stop the spring of eternal life bubbling up and breaking through. It's a wonderful thing. And so with Jesus, when you're confused and you find that clarity bubbles up and breaks through, when you're depressed and despairing, hope bubbles up. When you're distressed, you find peace breaking through. That's what Jesus is talking about here. That's the offer he's giving in verses 13 and 14. And I guess there'll be a number here this morning who are saying, I do want that water. And as I close, see how you can have it. Look at what Jesus says in verse 14. He says, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Notice, this water Jesus gives to us. Money can't buy it. You and I can't earn it. No one can say they deserve it. Jesus just gives it. It's not a matter of if I go to church that many times I can have it. No, there's no earning. If I'm this good, can I have it? No. Jesus just gives it. He's so kind. Didn't ask you to earn it. So how do you get it? Well, it's there in verse 15. You just have to come to Jesus and say, Sir or Jesus, give me this water. And when you say that, he will give it to you, but he'll also say something else. He'll say one thing. He'll say, stop drinking from these other cisterns, these broken cisterns that keep leaving you thirsty. That's what he does, you see, in verse 16. He identifies for this woman the other well that she's been drinking from. He shows her where she's been lowering the bucket of her soul to try and quench her thirst. And he says, stop drinking from there, because drinking from there won't quench your thirst. It'll just leave you more and more thirsty. Very simple, isn't it? Sir, give me this water. Yes, I will give it to you. And you stop drinking from other sources that you think are going to quench your thirst. And you will find, verse 14, you will find that you have water. A spring of water, bubbling up, welling up to eternal life. Well, look, if any of this has made any sense to any of you and you're saying, yeah, I'm not sure I've ever taken this, but I'd like to. I'm going to be at the back afterwards, milling around. Just speak to me. Say something like, I want to come to Jesus, or I want that water, or that has made sense to me for the first time. And if that's you, then, we'll just have a quick chat and I'll tell you how to take things to the next level. Well, thanks very much for listening. I'll pray for us, and then I'll hand back to Andy. Now, Father, we thank you very much for this wonderful offer of the Lord Jesus, this gift of eternal life, of water that quenches our thirst. We thank you that the Lord Jesus knows us inside and out, that he knows exactly where we're looking to quench our thirst, and that he knows that none of those things will ever quite do it. And we pray that all of us, whether these are new things to us or whether we've been walking with Jesus for many years, would remember again today how he and he alone can give us that thirst-quenching water. And we ask it in his name. Amen.